Blessed, blessed day, everyone. Welcome to our worship service. I'm glad that you could join me. And today marks the start of our study on the Songs of Ascents. Today we'll be studying Psalm 120. But before we begin, pray muna tayo. Let's pray. We come to you, Lord, with all humility and with all expectancy, anticipating that you would indeed teach us, that you would indeed preach to our hearts, that you would indeed, Lord, use your word to mold our hearts, to guard our minds, and to guide our steps and paths, so that we would not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of your word as well. We pray that you would allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be pleasing, acceptable, and glorifying to your name. We pray, Lord, that you would captivate and capture all our hearts to listen and listen well and to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm happy that you could join me as we start our new series, our series within the series, diba? We're looking at the book of Psalms, and we will be looking at a special collection of Psalms, 15 Psalms in all, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And I pray that you were able to catch, or you were able to listen to, or joined us in our introductory material, because it's very helpful as we study these Psalms. And if you haven't, you can check out our website or our YouTube channel and try to check it out and catch it, right? And so, as we look at this psalm, by way of short review, we said that the Songs of Ascents are 15 fairly short psalms that are sung by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem to worship. And as they are on their way to Jerusalem, ito yung kinakanta nila. Ito yung inaawit nila. And kaya siya Songs of Ascent, kasi paakyat, ascent, going up. There's a movement upward because that is what they would indeed do. Kasi ang Jerusalem, ang temple, is located on higher ground. So, kahit saan ka manggaling, if you want to go to the temple, if you want to go to Jerusalem, you are indeed going up. So, Songs of Ascents. Hindi natin alam bakit siya na-compile lang ganito. We're not sure what are the categories, what are the requirements, why they were grouped together. But I believe that when they were trying to group and compile these songs, they compile them according to what they have been practicing or what they have been used. And so, they group these songs together because I believe that that is what they have been doing in the past. And sabi natin, these are songs that they sing as they go up to the temple to celebrate, to worship three great festivals, right? And as we look at this psalm before us, Psalm 120, as we start our ascent, so to speak, sa ating pag-aaral ng Songs of Ascents, makikita natin na may bigat sa tema ng writer na ito. There's grief in this psalm. The writer is mourning what it's like to live in a hostile world. And he's also teaching us how to think, how to respond, how to pray as we are living in a hostile world. We need to understand and we need to be reminded, friends, yes, through the gospel, Christ reconciled sinful men to the Father. Those who has believed and embraced and repented of their sins and put their confidence in the gospel, they have been reconciled to the Father, to God. Pero, ang ginawa rin ng Ebanghelyo is that it has brought us to the truth that we live in a fallen world and we would face persecution. Listen to Jesus himself. In John 15, verse 18, it reads, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Jesus himself said, you will be persecuted because I was persecuted, and you live in a hostile world. Paul says the same thing in 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That is the psalm, that is the truth that this psalm is talking about as we study this wonderful psalm. And one thing that we would notice, papasin natin sa psalm na ito, is that yung first part niya is confidence. There's confidence, particularly in the Lord's response, His ability to help, His ability to deliver. And as we see this, we would expect that this psalm would end in an anthem of praise, a burst of doxology. Nakita natin, nagsimula siya na meron siyang kasiguruhan, may confidence siya sa Panginoong Diyos, and therefore, we would anticipate, oh, praise the Lord for His faithfulness, pero hindi. Typically, as a song, psalms na nagsisimula sa, oh Lord, I am in distress and I pray to you. We would see later, pag nag-end yung psalm, we would see, oh, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. But that is not what we see here. The psalm ends in grief. The psalm seems upside down. It starts with confidence in answered prayers, and it ends in grief? Teka lang, parang hindi yata magandang pagkatapos yun. It starts down? I think hindi siya ganun yung case eh. It does not end down. Or parang downer siya. No, it just ends very honest. It just ends very honest. Dahil the song before us is basically saying that this world is not my home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Ito ang makikita natin sa awit na ito. And so with that in mind, join me. Open your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles with you. Kindly tap your way to Psalm 120 in your Bible apps as we read together Psalm 120. A song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Kagaya na sinabi natin, three times a year, the Bible prescribed that Jewish men with their families go to the temple to worship Him. And these are during the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. These are three important festivals in their lives. Huwag kayong malito, okay? When you look at Exodus and Deuteronomy, it would give us different names. Passover is also the festival of the unleavened bread. Yung Pentecost can be called the first fruits, or the festival of harvest, or festival of weeks. Yung Feast of the Tabernacles can also be called the Feast of Booths, or in gathering. These are three important events in the lives of the Jews. And so three times a year, you need to set aside your normal life and go to these festivals to worship God. And so while they're going there, they sing songs. And the songs of ascents are the songs that they sing. Pero interesante lang. It's very interesting to note that the songs of ascents begin in this psalm. Psalm 120, which begins in distress and ends with war. And you might ask, bakit nga ba ganito ang simula? In fact, why is this song even included in a collection of songs as they travel to worship God? Kasi this makes perfect sense. Kasi the travel alone is potentially dangerous. There are robbers, there are thieves along the way na naghihintay sa isang vulnerable na grupo that they could rob and attack. And so, kaya itong mga taong ito, they travel in big groups. They travel in very, very big groups for protection. As we've mentioned in our study last week, that is the setting when we see in Luke chapter 2, the young boy Jesus, when his family went to the temple, di ba nawala siya? Because they thought that he was in the group. So the group was big enough for a 12-year-old to mistakenly be in the group. Right? So, it's a big group. And just thinking about Jesus being in the festival, I'm pretty sure it's not far-fetched to say that Jesus sang these songs. Di ba? That Jesus sang these songs. And in fact, si Jesus Christ ang nag-exemplify, siya ang nagmo-model nitong Psalm 120. Because he is the one who was hated and suffered, but through him, reconciliation with the Father and praise ascribed to God can be found. And so as we look at this psalm, Psalm 120, the writer models for us two spiritual responses to the distressing pressures of this fallen world. So verse 1 to 4, we would see confidence in the Lord's response. So verse 5 to 7, we see him mourning at the world's resistance. Today, we will learn how to respond to a fallen world. How should we respond? How should a believer respond to this fallen world and the distress and the struggles that is there? So, tignan natin yung first heading. So, verse 1 to 4, makita natin, there's confidence. Confidence in what? In the Lord's response, and it can be seen into ways. There's certainty in the Lord's rescue, verse 1 to 2, and certainty in the Lord's retribution, right? So, isa sa response na dapat nating tignan at dapat nating yakapin in the midst of suffering is to have confidence in the Lord's answer and in the Lord's rescue. Pero again, as we end this psalm, we would see na it ends with grief. It starts with confidence, it ends with grief, which means, listen, sometimes as you go through struggles in this fallen world, even if you trusted the Lord already, even if you prayed cast all your burdens already, even after you are resolved to not retaliate, kahit ikaw ay inaapi, kahit ikaw ay pinipersecute, hindi ako babawi, hindi ako gaganti, I would leave room for God to avenge me. Sometimes, ang idea natin lagi is that we would be happy about it. Don't get me wrong, there are times that we are at peace, that we are happy. But in all honesty, after doing all that, after having confidence in the Lord, we still have that burden in our hearts, diba? When we realize that we may not be invited to the next family gathering because yung tito mo o yung tita mo, yung lolo mo perhaps, o yung pinsan mo would not want you there kasi he knows or she knows that you would be preaching the gospel, you would be sharing the gospel. Or maybe you get bypassed from a promotion at work because of your faith, because of your strong biblical convictions. Sometimes there are situations that after you have placed your confidence and trust in God, you would still feel that grief. And that kind of grief is not wrong. It's just telling you that you live in a fallen world. So again, let's look together at the confidence of the psalmist in two things. And even after the faith that he expressed, he would share with us the grief that he still has to deal with. And I think, very helpful yun, mga kaibigan. Kasi, again, may mga pagkakataon na kahit nananalangin ka na, you would still feel that heavy burden. And dear ones, that is the Christian life. And the only way, if you want to get rid of the burden, the heaviness, the grief, is to stop caring, to be indifferent, to stop caring about the gospel, is to stop caring about God and His glory, and to stop caring about lost souls. Diba? Sino ba rito walang burden ng unsaved loved ones? We all have loved ones or people in our stewardship that who are not believers yet. And sometimes the burden we carry is simply the price tag of love. Love for God and love for the lost. And so now, let's look at the psalmist. Even in faith, he would share with us the grief of what it's like to live in a fallen world. Look at verse 1 as we look at his confidence in the Lord's response. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Ano napansin niyo? Did you notice the name Lord in all caps? And we know that that is Yahweh, diba? The name that the Lord gave Himself when Moses asked, sino sasabihin ko? Who brought me? Who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? And God said, tell them I am that I am. Yahweh, that is His self-sufficient, self-existing, covenant-making, and covenant-keeping name. He is a faithful God. Now, in the original language, the word Lord, Yahweh, is in the emphatic position. It's in the beginning of verse 1. So, literally, it would read, to the Lord, in my distress, I called and He answered. Lord is in the emphatic position in the first verse. Yung word na distress or trouble, if you're looking at the NASB, literally means to take something and make it narrower, going makipot, going masikip, to confine it. It has a picture ng masikip, diba? That is true to what or to how we feel, diba? When we are in trouble, we feel very tight. Diba? We get the picture. Diba nga, sa Tagalog, when we say, when we're looking forward to blissful days, or dahil you're going through some rough times, sabi mo, pag nakaluwag-luwag. Right? So, there is tightness in struggle. That is the imagery here. That is the situation of the writer. Ginamit niya itong salitang ito to express and to describe his overwhelming trouble. And this kind of pressure can happen from the outside, from externally. Diba? When the people around you are giving you a hard time, when you do not have control of your situation, just like the situation that we're in right now. Diba? We have no control on the pandemic. Diba? And we struggle. We are in distress. Pero ito rin, na distress na ito, this trouble, this tight situation can also happen from within. When you have unconfessed sins, when you are reaping the consequence of wrong decisions. So imagine natin, mga kapatid, the struggle externally coming from enemies or from within because of certain sins or passions or perhaps dahil nag-worry ka lang at nag-duda ka. The writer wants us to picture that he is in a very tight spot. May pressure galing minsan sa labas at madalas galing sa loob. That is where the writer is as he is writing this. But this is what we see. To the Lord in my distress, in my pressurized tight spot, I called and He answered. Sabi niya, I cried out to Him and He answered. Again, there's great wisdom there. in verse 1 alone. Kasi the writer went to the Lord first. The temptation many times for us is to go to people. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to consult with godly people, godly friends, and to have them share your burdens with you. But only after you go to God first. Ito ang inuna ng psalmist. He went to God first, and that is what he's modeling for us. In difficult, stressful situations, ano yung ginagawa niyo unang-una? Do you pick up the phone? Do you blast an email? Do you make a vlog post? Vlogger ka ba? Or do you go to Facebook? Beloved, I pray that we would cry out to God, to Yahweh, the faithful one first. I pray that our initial reaction is to be on our knees and cry out to God. Yung word na distress dito, by the way, was used in 2 Samuel 1:26 to describe how David felt when his best friend Jonathan died. He said, "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan." Yun yung same word nun. So it has a picture of tightness and sorrow and agony. In this psalm, hindi natin alam kung ano ang sitwasyon niya. We don't know explicitly what was the situation. We would get a general idea later that it's because of lies. Kasi nawalingan from other people. But other than that, we are not sure what the occasion of the writing was. Therefore, it applies to thousands of situations. It can apply to your life, to my life, to the psalmist's life. It applies to every tight situation. The psalmist was saying, "When I am in tight situation, I go to the Lord." And friends, I want you to understand, going to the Lord first protects you from a lot of bad options. It prevents you from being self-focused. It prevents you from self-pity. It keeps you from becoming bitter. Diba? And it keeps you from seeking revenge if you are being wronged. So right away, in this pressurized spot, he is modeling for us what we ought to be doing. To the Lord, I cry out. He has confidence that God will hear him. Because God has heard and answered him in the past, now he is praying to God once again as he is in trouble. Whenever I'm in trouble, I cry out and he answers. In verse 2, we are given a hint kung anong klaseng pressure, saan nangagaling yung pressure, saan nangagaling yung distress na yan. Look at verse 2. "Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue." Again, I need to emphasize that the Lord is still in the emphatic position in verse 2. So it would read, "Lord, deliver me from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue." So twice na in this psalm, in the opening verses, that the name of Yahweh is placed in the emphatic position, in the beginning of the verse. "To the Lord in my distress called, to the Lord in my distress I called, and he answered. Lord, deliver me from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue." This is who I'm hoping for, sabi ni ng psalmist. This is who I'm trusting my deliverance will come from. Yung verb na deliver conveys a concept of snatching out from harm's way. Parang kunyari, may nakikita ka masasagasaan, tapos hinatak mo siya. That's the word, deliver. So here, it stresses fervent plea. There's a sense of urgency. Please, snatch me out. Right? To deliver as opposed to self-trust. Diba? Rather than to trust myself, I ask the Lord to deliver me. This speaks of great confidence indeed. Right? Sabi nga nandito sa ating binabasa, "Deliver me." Diba? "To the Lord, Lord, deliver me, as we are looking at the ESV. But NASB puts it this way, deliver my soul. And I think that was spot on. Kasi sa original language, andun talaga yung word na soul. Right? And very interesting na ginamit ng writer yung soul. So whatever these lies are coming from, sabi niya, deliver me from these lies, deliver my soul from these lies. It's telling us that, sabi niya, deliver me from all the harm it can do to all of me. That ito nagsasabi sa atin na yung mga kasinulingan ito, that these lies are not just a threat to his physical well-being, but to all of me, to my soul. So, hindi lang ito nagsasabing nagsinulin sa kanya. This is not just talking about being lied to. It also includes being lied about. Have you ever experienced that? Hindi lang yung nagsinulin sa'yo, pati yung nagsinungaling patungkol sa'yo. Right? People lying to you and people lying about you. Baka may binili ka kunyari na isang bagay and then only to find out na peke pala yun. Right? Or maybe you trust someone only to find out that he or she has been making stories about you and spreading it to other people. Ako, naranasan ko na yun. And in all honesty, it's very exhausting. Nakakapagod. It's struggling. Diba? It's so helpless minsan ang feeling. Diba? Kasi parang if you would be very honest with yourselves, at first pride will kick in. Bakit niya ginagawa sa akin yan? And then you would say, ah, wag muna. Wag kong gawin niya kasi hindi dapat sa Panginoon Diyos yan. Ayaw ng Panginoon Diyos yan. Then you would then start thinking about who did these people go to? How do other people see me now? What do they think about me? And so it's so maddening, it's so tiring. That's why it's a good picture that the writer used, soul. Deliver my soul from these lies. Because it is bothering his very core. Psalmist knows that God, who answered him in the past, to whom he's praying again, and he knows that he will deliver not just me, but all of me from that which would endanger his old person. Rescue me, sabi ng psalmist. I'm not going to trust myself or anyone else, but I'm trusting you, O Yahweh. Yung salitang deception, here, sa, di ba, sabi dito, di ba, we read, deliver me from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. The same word na yung deceitful or in deceit can be found in Genesis 29 when Jacob was lied to by Laban. Remember si Jacob, mahal niya si Rachel and he worked for 7 years para kay Rachel only to find out that he was given Leah. Diba? Sabi nga ni Jacob, why have you deceived me? That is the idea there. There's treachery there. Yung parang kapag tatraidor. That has a picture of premeditated deception. Pinlano talaga. Intentional trickery. Again, we don't have specifics sa Psalm 120, but you get the idea, diba? That he is being lied to, he's being lied about, and this is the intention. And so, what should be the response? Some people would be mad at God and blame him and blaspheme him, diba? When they are in a tight situation, when they are being falsely accused, some will go to other people for comfort. Some will go to look at themselves and harden their hearts and justify, okay, I will get even then. Some would go deeper in sin. Oh, since God has allowed this to happen, I'm not gonna go continue on believing in Him. Some would get even and do their own smear campaign. You're talking about me, I'll be talking about you to other people as well. Some people try to stand for the right and fight back, but some people, like the psalmist, trust in the Lord and looks up and prays. And that is what the psalmist is modeling for us. So he says, I have confidence that the Lord who answered in the past will answer me again. But not only has he the confidence in the Lord's prayer, the Lord's answer, by way of his rescue, he also has confidence in the Lord's retribution or in the Lord's justice. And you may ask, so tama ba yun? Okay lang ba yun na mag-aspire ako, mag-desire ako na bawian sila ng Diyos? Baka mali yun eh. Would it be wrong to be looking forward for God to go get the bad guys? No. Because when you have that confidence, mercifully applied, longing for them, praying for them that they would be saved, trusting in the Lord that they would be saved. But if they would not, we know that He will take up our case. At yon ang magkikip sa atin from being vengeful, from seeking revenge, na pwede natin maging temptation. Now look at how he expressed this confidence by way of rhetorical question. A rhetorical question and an answer. At gusto ko malaman ninyo, itong section na ito is similar to an oath formula or a vow formula in the Old Testament. Narinig nyo na siguro madalas yung sinasabing ganun, anuman ang gawin sa'yo, may God do such and such to me, and more so if I break this vow. We hear that every now and then in the Old Testament. This is the formula here. This is the statement here. Ano sabi niya? Verse 3, what shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? So borrowing the principle of this vow formula, this oath formula, where we hear, may God do such and such to you, to me, and more so if I break this vow. And so what the Psalter is actually saying here is this, what will be done to you and more, what will be done to you and more, you deceitful tongue? Yun sinasabi niya, sana gawin sa iyo to. And who's gonna do these things? God will. By the Lord who has, whom he has placed his trust in, the Lord whom, the name of the Lord who was placed in the emphatic possession. To the Lord in my distress, I called and he answered. To the Lord to whom I am praying to now, and will deliver me from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. He's actually reminding himself. Now, tanungin ko po kayo, is he really talking to these liars? Those who have deceitful tongues, kinakausap niya ba sila? It's kasi sa pagbasa natin, he is referring to them. He is addressing them. That is my question. Can they hear them? Would their enemies be around as they gathered, as they are singing this song in their pilgrimage to the temple? By singing the song to their enemies who are not listening, sino nakikinig? Who is listening instead? God's people are, right? This is a way to be singing truths to each other, praying this song to each other, reminding each other you don't have to take up your own revenge. The Lord would hear you. The Lord will deliver you, and the Lord will deal with them. So leave it up to the Lord. What shall be given to you? Verse 3. And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? This is faith expressed in the certainty of God's retribution. Very confident ang writer sa hustisya na mayroon sa Panginoong Diyos. Kindly turn your Bible. Let me illustrate that for you. Kindly turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, we see the Song of Moses. And the Song of Moses is about God and His people. And ang Israel, hindi man sila perfect. We know that, di ba? As we are studying Exodus, they were never presented as perfect in the Bible. In fact, we see God, even in their disobedience, intervening because of His faithful love. And so this is an honest song, sa Deuteronomy 32. But towards the end of this beautiful song, he talks about what God would do to his people's enemies. Tignan nyo, Deuteronomy 32, starting from verse 34. Is not this laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. When he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free, then he will say, where are their gods? The rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering. Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and swear as I live forever. If I sharpen my flashing sword, and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries, and will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, with the blood of the stain and the captives from the long-haired heads of the enemy. Rejoice with him, O heavens. Bow down to him, all gods, for he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land. May I ask you, may duda ba sa kaisipan ni Moses that God would indeed avenge and care for his people? That God would deal with those who persecuted his people? Wala. Moses had confidence. Now, look at the other end of the Bible. We're looking at the Old Testament. Look at the other end of the Bible. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we see confidence expressed by an apostle, confidence that God would repay, that God would indeed be a just judge. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to you, give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions. So they are being persecuted, and in the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Verse 6. Listen, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you. Do you understand what this is saying? Sabi ni Pablo, it is only right for God to be going after those who has persecuted you. It would be unjust of God if at the end, in the windows of time, that He would not repay retribution to those who have persecuted His people. It would be unjust for God. It's telling us that indeed God would go after those who has afflicted His people. Verse 7, 1 Thessalonians pa rin tayo. Or 2 Thessalonians, I mean. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. There is confidence in Moses and in the Apostle Paul. Let me ask you, did the psalmist know details about the retribution that would fall on those who afflict God's people? Wala. But both the writer of Psalm 120, Moses, and the Apostle Paul are expressing their faith that there is certainty that I don't have to take revenge for myself. God will do this for me. So verse 3, Balita sa Psalm 120, actually means, do you realize what's coming to you? As the writer was talking to these liars, do you realize what's coming to you? If you don't repent with absolute certainty, you will be judged. And what will be the judgment? How does it look like? Look at verse 4, Psalm 120, verse 4. What shall be given to you? What shall be done to you? Here is what will be given to you. Here is what will be done to you. Verse 4. A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Literally, sharp arrows of the hero. Yung warrior dyan, pwede i-translate na hero. While this might be saying that your God's people would get even, would fight back, and defeat their enemies, in essence, this is talking about God's arrows. Inaapi mo ang aking mga hinirang, then I will fight for them. Do you realize what is coming? There is no turning back from God's sharp arrows. And again, yung arrow dito, hindi yung arrow ng sa archery, ah. Kasi yung arrow sa archery, ang ganda, di ba? Napaka-refined. And this is sport siya ng grace, ng precision, di ba? Ng poise. It's not talking about the sport. Yung arrow na ginagamit sa sport that you aim and try to hit the bullseye. This is talking about warfare. This is talking about let's hit the leader with our arrow in his eyes. Let's try to hit the soldier in his heart. This is an assault weapon, itong arrow na ito. This is an instrument of war, not of sport. So God is going to come for you like a hero with sharp arrows. Sabi ng psalmist. And the second phrase says, tingnan natin, so verse 4, with glowing coals of the broom tree. Ang idea dyan is yung broom tree kasi is a tree that easily catches fire. Particularly yung roots niya, mabilis siya magningas, tapos ginagawa nilang uling yun. They make coal out of it and then they put it in containers and only to use later para magningas, right? And you need to understand that the broom tree easily gets burned, and when you think na nakita mo nawawala na yung kanyang ningas, when you think it's going to be extinguished, just a breath would start the fire burning again. And that is the imagery here. And what it means is that there will be arrows to those who are going after God's people, to those who are spreading lies, to those who are lying about God's people. There will be arrows and fire. And just when you think that the fire is gone, not anytime soon, it would be only take a breeze to start the fire again. The deceivers, whose tongues and their lies can spread like a wildfire. It's basically saying, ganun din ang mangyayari sa inyo. You will be attacked. The weapon that you use against my people will be the same weapon that will be used against you. Same retribution will be brought back to you. Do you know, do you remember of anyone who suffered this way? Do you remember Haman? Diba? Si Haman gumawa ng gallows, yung pangbigti, para kay, no, para kay Mordecai. That was his intention. And dun din siya pinatay. Right? When the Lord rescues His people, He would do it, and He would do it in a strong and mighty, mighty way. So there's absolute confidence sa heart ng psalmist that the Lord will take care of me and that He will give retribution to those who try to harm me. At dahil sa confidence na yun, we actually would anticipate a burst of praise. But that is not what we see. Despite the fact that he has confidence in the Lord, what we see in verse 5 to 7 is the writer's grief. That is our next heading. Though he prayed to God and he has confidence, he cannot do away with the fact that he still lives in a hostile world. In verse 5 to 7, we see another response of a believer, of a pilgrim, going up to worship God as he is faced with the utter hostility of this world. He mourns at the world's resistance. His misery is described in verse 5 to 6. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. Yung salitang woe is a trade word for a prophet. Prophets are mouthpieces of God, delivering oracles for God, and they basically carry just two messages. Either blessed are you, or woe to you. Right? Sino sa Bible ang naalala niyo nung sabing, woe is me, or woe to me? Remember Isaiah? In chapter 6, when he saw the majesty and splendor and the holiness of God, and he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is that is the picture there. And so the writer used this word to express that his situation is so depressing that para siyang binigyan ng oracle ng isang propeta na sinasabi sa kanya, kahabag-habag ka. Woe is me. It's as if a prophet declared a curse on me. Even though I'm trusting the Lord to deliver me, in the meantime, living with the pressure of lies and deception, sabi ng writer, my heart is grieved. Woe is me. Woe to me. My heart is still miserable, the psalmist said. Although I'm trusting the Lord for future retribution, for ultimate retribution for those who are going after me, woe is me. Bakit may woe? Bakit may grief? Is it because of the lies? He describes for us in verse 5, woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. And this is beautiful here. Yung to sojourn and to dwell means I don't have a permanent residence. Although the word dwell implies permanency, right? Permanence. But we couple it with the word sojourn, and this is beautiful here. Yung Meshech and Kedar are places wherein we would see people who are hostile. They are known to be hostile barbarians. Now, Meshech and Kedar, were located so far apart that geographically it would be impossible for the writer to be saying that I live within them or in the confines of both the Meshek and the Kedar. So basically, it is a word picture, a general term for the unbelievers, for those who are hostile against God. They are examples, that they prove to be pictures of those who hate God. Again, yung verb na dwell and the word na live, ay napakagandang pagpili ng Diyos sa mga salitang ito. Even though the psalmist may have enjoyed a permanent residence among these non-believers, he felt as if he was just a sojourner among his contemporaries. He did not feel at home with the ungodly. So this may mean that the writer is grieved about still living in the hostile world, and he knows that he does not belong there. He feels so out of place. Have you felt that? I hope you have. Mas magandang gano'n nararamdaman natin kaysa komportable tayo sa kasamaan sa paligid natin. That is what we see here. Don't you feel that when you are like, if you're my contemporary, di ba? Minsan, pag ang mga kasama ko, mga teenagers, hindi ko na maintindihan. I feel so out of place. Right? We cannot understand their lingo, how they dress up. Pero in a spiritual sense, don't you feel so out of place when you look at the world around you? That is what the writer is feeling in his situation. Again, it's much, much better to feel awkward in the world than to be comfortable with it. Sabi ni James, friendship with the world is enmity, waging war with God. So, what do we have here? In a way, the writer is saying he does not fit here anymore. He has prayed to God already. He asked for deliverance. He asked for rescue. He is confident that God would rescue him and pay retribution to those who are persecuting him. But afterwards, he still feels the grief. He said, I don't belong here anymore. And now, kindly look at how he expressed it again in verse 6. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. Ano ang nagka-characterize sa mga taong ito? They hate peace. And that makes him uncomfortable. Yung phrase na too long can also be rendered as greatly or many times. That means, sabi ng writer, multitude of time, far longer than I hoped to be. Kailan pa ba ang tagal ko narito? There's mystery here. He hates, although he knows that he's there, he hates being there. He's agonizing that he is with these people who hate peace. That is the writer's mystery. That is his grief. And so now as we end this psalm, let's look at the world's hostility in verse 7. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Literally, everything about me is promoting peace. That is what I desire. That is what I have. I am all for peace, but when I speak about peace, they are for war. And so while he promotes peace, they remained unchanged. They did not repent. And he is saying, I am miserable by their constant rejection of the word. I'm miserable because my motives have been maligned. And when I try to speak about truth, it gets thrown back at me. And so, parang hindi na lang nakatira dito. Parang lang, yung ating terminology, parang na lang ako nasa Timbuktu. Parang ganun ang sinasabi ng writer. And we understand that. Diba? We understand the misery of trying to share the gospel. Diba? Especially to your work associates, to your classmates, to your friends, especially to your loved ones. And when they reject it, diba? Even if you have trusted in the Lord already, masakit, diba? That is what the psalmist is feeling here. He is homesick for peace. He is homesick for a place he's never been to. He was longing for wholeness. He was longing for reconciliation with God, for people to be reconciled to God. He was longing for God and His glory. Na-homesick na ba kayo? Ako na-homesick ako. Nasa Amerika ako. It's so miserable. Tas may COVID pa? This is how we are to respond when we find ourselves too often like the psalmist. Para tayong outsider, para tayong alien, para tayong stranger. And even though we have trusted in the Lord already for rescue, for retribution, we still struggle. We still are grieved. Kaya sasabihin natin ng mga puso natin, ang gaano pa ba katagal? Too long have I had to live like this. I've been here. I long to be with God. Dear ones, as we are studying this, I want you to know that the pressure that the psalmist is feeling is the normative for believers. It's the norm for believers. The world will hate us. And though we long for people to know God, and though we are committed to be sharing the gospel, to be living out the gospel, and though we live it up to the Lord, it still hurts seeing the evil around us. We long for that day when all of this will be done and enjoy eternity with God. I don't know about you. I mean, I love what I do. I praise the Lord for giving me this opportunity, this privilege to be sharing the gospel. But I long to be with Him. Right here, right now, as we proclaim the message of peace, the world will hate us. The world will want war. That is how this psalm ends. Nagsimula ang awit na ito with confidence and ends with grief. So imagine. Let's imagine together. It's Passover. Tapos nag-decide tayo, GCF East, let's go to Jerusalem together as a group as we go to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. And we start singing. And then we figure out, ay, maganda itong awit na ito. Let's start singing this. The good Lord is going to protect us, right? And He will protect us from evil. We will be safe in this journey. And we are aware that there are those who do not share our convictions. There are those who hate us. There are those who would reject us. There are those who would be lying to us and lying about us. In fact, there are many who are hostile to our message. And we carry with us that burden. That pain. But at least for now, for these few days, we are with those who share the same conviction. Those who share our burden. Those who seek peace like we do. Operative word, look around you. We still are doing video messages. The point is, let us nurture our community of faith. Yes, the world hates us, but we don't hate each other, hopefully, no? Right? We are with those who believe in God and those who believe that God would rescue and deliver us and those who share our conviction, who desire peace. And so as we end this study, looking forward to the next song, Psalm 121, as we go up to the temple, as we worship Him, this may be bringing people to your mind who are hostile to the gospel. Someone at home, perhaps, diba? Baka nasa bahay nyo. Someone perhaps you hold dear to your heart. maaring nanay mo, who claims that she does not approve, ayaw niya yung nangyari sa'yo, because since you got born again, you do not pray the rosary together anymore. Perhaps it's your father who mocks you because of your faith. Or maybe it's a problematic child who just don't want to have anything to do with your newfound faith. Perhaps it's a wife. Perhaps it's a husband who's pressuring you to stop with the nonsense according to them, the nonsense of your faith. That is how some of us feels, di ba? Kaya nga, pag nasa worship tayo, we love to be together. But we have that burden that when the worship service is over, when we go back to our respective homes, we have that weight on our shoulder, knowing that there are loved ones who would rather live for now and for the world than to long for eternal life with Jesus. Dear ones, we need to continually be trusting in the Lord, who hears our cries, the one who rescues us, the one who would bear the weight on our shoulder, the one who would help us. But we need to bear with this grief, because that means that we love. We love God and His glory, and we love the lost. And it's a clear indicator that this world is not your home. We're just passing through. And so let us all, as a community, remind each other to remain firm in the faith and to lovingly proclaim the gospel to the lost, even when it hurts. Even if it hurts. And when God Himself brings distress on our way, diba? May that remind us to not get too comfortable with this world. And may we, as a family, as a group, as a community, all together long for that place, that place of wholeness, that place of peace, being ruled by the Prince of Peace. Right? Confidence in the Lord's response and the Lord's retribution would not insulate you from the truth that you are a pilgrim and that you are not from here. And so the grief and burden that we have are but a sign that we are homesick for home. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful song. We know that it seems like a downer kasi nagsimula ng conference natapos ng grief. But we understand, Lord, that this is what life is for us. We are just passers-by. Hindi kami taga rito at napakarami sa ginagalawan namin. In fact, Lord, baka meron po sa bahay namin who are hostile to our faith. And even though we know that we have been praying for them, have placed our trust in you, there still is that pain, that burden in our hearts, that longing that they would believe. And thank you, Lord, for this burden. Thank you for this pain. It just proves that we are not from here. And so, Lord, we present to you these loved ones, these people whom you have placed in our stewardship. Kindly have mercy on them. Kindly give them faith. Kindly save them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, again for the message of this song. And we thank you for the truth in this song that speaks of who we are. Pilgrims, aliens, foreigners. Our true citizenship is in heaven. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for teaching and praise you for your word. This is our prayer with much thanksgiving in Christ's most precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you all next week. And again, don't forget that on December 6th, we'll be having our very first in-person service. And I hope to see you all there. Details will be given to you. It was given to you in our announcement. Salamat po. May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you as you live for Him. God bless.